Great. My name is Dan Kanomanga. I'm a lecturer at Moi University in Kenya, where I lecture media studies. I'm currently a visiting fellow at the Center for African Studies here at Cambridge University. Here at the center, I'm working on a project where I'm looking at how local chiefs in Kenya are using Twitter to perform administrative functions. So you have a situation where the baraza is being transformed into what I would call the new baraza, where locals would send a text to chiefs, and chiefs would tweet this to dispersed audiences numbering up to 50,000 plus. So you have a situation. The baraza itself is a historical platform that was, I would say, that was primordial to communities, African communities that live around present-day Kenya. So it was a deliberative space that was co-opted into the colonial administration, whereby they were using these spaces to impose and to dramatize power and to dramatize colonial rule. So in a place like Kenya, communities were basically chiefless communities. So chiefs were imposed on these communities. So when chiefs were imposed on these communities, the baraza became the deliberative space where they could deliberate. The ruled and the rulers could actually deliberate. So the baraza has been a platform of this of grassroots rule from 1920s to the present day. And the history is extremely interesting. After the post-colonial state adopted the baraza, made it quasi compulsory, people had to attend the baraza. After 1991, when pluralism got into sub-Saharan Africa, it was actually impossible to coerce people to attend the baraza. So what actually happened is that in a place like Nakuru, they actually started using Twitter to do that. So you have a situation where a baraza is not something that people would look forward to attend or people would ordinarily attend. Mm-hmm. But with Twitter, you have chiefs creating a sort of a new baraza where those interactions, not actual deliberations, that used to take place in the baraza are now taking place on Twitter. That is now what I call the new baraza. These texts also give meaning. There's a sense of shared meanings with members of this location, that they are part of a community, that they are part of something. To the extent that if the chiefs do not send a text, oftentimes they get calls from members of the location to find out if there's actually a problem. Mm-hmm. Problem actually with them, or if everything is okay or something like that. So it's more like a performance. They have to keep performing. Mm-hmm. And it's also more like media. They have to keep giving content. They have to keep giving and feeding the audience with content. Yes, Twitter is a useful tool for community policing. For one thing, it has connected the entire community in a sense in which social action can be effected in real time as the crime is happening. In the same way that Twitter is very good at reporting events as they unfold, it is also the same way in community policing that they can actually react to incidences as they actually happen at that time. So a Twitter text that relates to particular crime would tend to be in Swahili. You know, it will tend to be in Swahili, and it will come in a flurry. So you'll have like 10 texts appearing within a minute or something like that, trying to trace where in particular this crime is happening. And usually, because these criminals also receive the text, when they receive it, they start running away. Mm-hmm. So the texts are like, they will be indicating the geographical points these guys are running to and all that. Oftentimes, of course, most times is that what happens is that the criminals run away because of that. But usually they don't commit the actual crime that they plan to do. Yeah, so it's a trade-off. You don't arrest them, but at the same time, they don't linger in a particular place so that you don't have situations of vicious crimes like rape and all that. Yeah. That's an interesting question, because when you look at his Twitter platform, he has almost 60,000 followers as we speak. But if you look at the number of people who are in that location, there are about 30,000. If we're talking about people who are, I mean, adults and people who are 18 and above who have mobile phones and all that, maybe I think everyone has a mobile phone there. We are talking about 20,000 people, you know, who receive his text. So who are these other people? So some one of the things is the what I would call the Tedization of one chief, for example, Chief Kariuki, whereby he's been turned into a media product, into a celebrity, gone abroad, given TED Talks and all that. So you have people who are following him, not out of the practical need, but just out of you want to be part of all this thing, and also you want to be to just follow the chief. And there are lots of commercial interests that are also embedded in all this. For instance, you have companies like Vodafone or Safaricom in Kenya that would sponsor the chief to try out the new smartphone that is just being launched. So what the chief would do, he would take a photo of himself using this smartphone and he would tweet. Now, the members of his location who receive this as a text message, it doesn't benefit them because they can't transmit those images. So these images go to other people like journalists, other professionals, people who are out of the country. Myself, I'm here, but I get his text and all that. So they're advertising a product, you know, for these people. Another thing is that you find politicians who are following him, including the president who follows him. So you can imagine the chief is the lowest, is in the grassroots of a huge labyrinth, which begins from State House, the office of the president, and then you have this network, and the chiefs are right here below. So there are some instances you find that he's texting and sending images as a performance, but you get the impression that the addressee are not the members of the location, that they are powers that be in Kenya.